So we hear on the All About Symbian podcast, it's not an insight, it's one of our let's just grab someone in the mobile world and talk about him. Any of you watching your RSS feeds in the news over the last couple of days may have heard of Alfie Denon of Moblog or Moblog UK or Moblog UK or Miblog or however it's pronounced. Alfie, it's Moblog, isn't it?
It is Moblog.
You've been through a bundle of names, haven't you?
We have, in a way. We've been Moblog UK. Then we were Moblog UK, but we had a colon. We were Moblog UK. And now we're simply Moblog, and we're running from a new URL, moblog.net.
Okay, why not .com? That's probably the obvious question.
Well, actually, Microsoft bought moblog.com about... a couple of months after we started the site, and we were running on... Oh, no, sorry, a couple of months before we started the site, and we were then running on moblg.net, moblog.net. So they've actually sat on that domain since 2003. We've tried, we've asked them via email. We've had phone conversations with the right people about releasing that domain, but alas. So who knows? Maybe Microsoft one day will be doing something in Moblog.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, the Moblog sort of ethos is already reasonably well known. You take a picture on your camera phone, you upload it, but you're not the first people to do this service. Neither, it's a big, strong field of contenders out there, but you've got a new version that came out last week, which you think is making the difference, or is it just to satisfy your investors?
We don't have any investors, and it certainly is, it's been a long time in coming. The thing is, we were really one of the first people to concentrate on blogging from mobile phones. Back in November 2003 is when we started, and no one was really doing it then because the mobile web hadn't, surfaced properly or to a degree which meant that there was much money in it for the big players. And it's only really been in the last couple of years that there's been a concerted effort towards how do you get content from your phone up to the web. And in that time, there's been a lot of stuff happening. So yes, we're in a completely changed game now. But the new platform and the way that we've built it has come out of over a year's worth of building and thinking amongst the team of five as to what it should do, how it should do it, what the mobile web means for how we... who we are as a company and a service offering. So the new platform is exceedingly deep. Like, you can do things with it which are not immediately apparent, actually, and has a lot of depth. Everything from creating groups which are MMS and SMS keyword driven, which previously was in the domain of long number providers like MX or iTag or whatever. So there's actually this blogging via MMS SMS engine on the back end of Moblog now, along with things like being able to run your old Moblog from your own domain using our domains facility management, which makes it into something like a hosted blogging solution, but one which is exceedingly simple to set up because it's hosted. All you do is put in what you'd like it to be, set it up. You can set it up as a group or as a normal Moblog. So there's a lot of depth to the new platform, and I think we're only really starting to see now, since we've only been launched for about a week and a half, 2 weeks now, what people are going to be doing with it.
So is the value proposition here more towards companies looking to white label or to the end user? It seems that you've got a lot of depth in there for the more sort of techie, fiddly people rather than someone who just wants to pick up a phone and
No, this is very much a consumer offering. If I made it sound a little bit techie, it's probably because I used the word MMS keywords. But ultimately, when you set up a group, just you go in and you set up a group. It says, what keyword do you want to use for people to send SMS or MMS messages to your group? And you'll just put in AASP or whatever. So it's very much a consumer offering. We've always been quite client-focused. We've done Moblogs for everyone from Beck to Girls Aloud to Greenpeace to Ronan Keating to Block Party to whatever. And that's predominantly where our revenues have come from, is this kind of low-level Moblog licensing solution and then a platform licensing solution to people like Channel 4. Now, we're not stopping that, but we're certainly moving away from it towards a much more consumer-focused offering where the ability to create a blog, a mobile blog, is just 30 seconds now. And after that 30-second period, you can blog from your phone, however you'd like to. So very much a consumer focus rather than a client focus.
So it's a much more competitive field now than it was in 2003. I mean, you still have the obvious ones in Flickr, but I suppose the handsets, Nokia in particular, moving into services such as this, OV Share is kicking around as well. Let's look at the implications that OV has. When you have handsets that are coming out that already have a photo sharing system built into the handset, hardwired into some of the buttons, hardwired into the menu options, how, as a small company, do you fight that? I mean, do you embrace that and say, well, we're only going to get 5% of the user base, so let's concentrate on them? Do you try and get round OV? Do you know, or maybe you're running OV Share in the background and just haven't told anybody yet?
Well, I think it's a very good question, and there's a few answers to it, and they're all related. I think we need to look at the history of how successful blogging from handsets has been when it's preloaded. So let's take the Blogger integration across Sony Ericsson handsets going back a year and a half, all the way through to the more recent integration, also with Blogger or the Blog This button on the LG Secret and others. So you've got this facility. Now, the average user then goes, oh, cool, I can put it online. Then when they put it online, they don't have any kind of audience at all. Now, this is the thinking which OV grew out of, where it's great to be able to provide the facility for people to upload their content, but ultimately you need a community there to keep interest, to keep that person uploading, to make them feel that someone's actually looking at their content, because that's the whole point. You know, you can set up a Blogger account from your phone on a Sony Ericsson or whatever, and then send that link to your mum and your friends, and then maybe one of them will comment, and then they'll never come back, because it's just the way it works. So OV is definitely a step forward, and I think that they're the only real on-handset contenders in that space right now. As you know, all of the operators are moving much more towards an open, do you want to share this on Bebo? Do you want to share this on Facebook or MySpace? And so there's already a movement towards collaboration with the bigger players. And there's also a movement towards collaboration with anybody, you know, and that's where clients like Shouzhou come in, where you can, you know, send to an email address even. And Moblog's, of course, supported there. So it's a big open-ended question, and it's a hard one. We don't compete directly with Flickr. My thinking on this has always been that the psychology behind a mobile phone photograph has always been exceedingly different to that which drives Flickr, which is I am a photographer, and these are my great digital images. And so I think that there is a space in people's minds. There's a space in the psychology which sharing mobile phone created content, whether videos or images, is separate. It's quite different, you know. So you've got people like OV and Nokia, you know, and I think that they're doing phenomenal things. You can see they're doing all of the acquisitions required to kind of solidify a place maybe a year and a half, 2 years from now, where everything is connected and perhaps data is free or whatever happens. But they've got places, they've got the geo stuff, they've got the blogging. So that's going to be interesting to see. My gut feeling is that it'll be them who we are either competing with or collaborating with. And that's the second part of of my answer, is that we're just at this point now where people are quite focused on APIs. We have to really look at talking together, playing nicely together. Let's take Quick, for example, Quick.com. They do an amazing live video blogging solution. I mean, when I signed up for it, I was just blown away by the ease, the simplicity. And so why should we reinvent that wheel? Why should we not instead collaborate with Quick to provide live video blogging within Moblog to Moblog users who then have a Quick account? So I think that the answer is multi-layered. One, yes, there will be competition from people like OV, etc. But at the same time, I think some of the startups that are all kind of burgeoning now have got a much more collaborative approach to how we look at our user base.
And I suppose the other question in the marketing, we'll finish that, is it's an internet product. The internet is not equal. I mean, let's be honest. If you're launching a tech company and you want to get, you know, acres and acres of coverage and thousands of users, then the thing to do is to visit Robert Scoble, is to visit Michael Harrington, is to visit O'Malley. Basically, to go around the people in San Francisco Valley. Yet you're in East London.
Yes, the transatlantic divide. Well, I think the transatlantic divide is lessening. You can look at Doppler, Last.fm. These are East London companies. They're based up the road from me, you know. Moo are up the road. So I think that there's definitely a lessening of that divide, which was certainly the case back in the first web boom. I think your point is slightly different, actually. What you're really talking about are A-listers. And A-lister support is something which can vault a startup from non-entity to global player overnight almost. We've seen it time and time again. So I think that there is still that disparity. But again, it does come down to compelling platform, compelling idea, and one which is innovative. And that's what these guys are all about. You know, what's new? So perhaps we missed our window on Arrington Love back in 2003, but we were never a startup in our minds. You know, we were just this, we're a couple of guys who wanted a blog from our phones. So I kind of agree with you. I think that the divide is still there, but it's certainly lessened. Our challenge now will be in scaling Moblog globally, but we have done that at the base level of the platform, whether that's from UTF-8 encoding throughout, so we're internationalization ready, or whether it's supporting SMS and MMS and email and browser upload from anywhere in the world. I mean, we've got five. We partnered with Spinbox, the voice-to-text company, and people in the UK, France, Spain, Germany, and the US can create a Moblog just by calling the dedicated number. So what we've done with the platform is gone, well, how do we close the loop between the web and the mobile web? And we've done that through account creation, whether that's SMS, MMS, or Spinbox. Means that if you're not already a member, we'll look at your phone number, and if it's not in our database, we'll send you a text message saying, thanks for posting, click here to complete your registration. And that way, they get their welcome email, but then they also get driven immediately to the mobile version of Moblog. So that's our approach, and that's how, as a non-funded startup based out of East London, we're looking at the global challenge of providing a really good, easy mobile blogging service to anyone.
And you know, you've been going now four or five years. What is the user base like? I mean, is it one that you can monetize? Is it one that's leverageable, or are you waiting for the ramp up now?
Well, yeah. I mean, what we're seeing now is that because the sign up process means that from sign up to first post is around 60 seconds, that we're seeing a lot more take up. So we're watching the take up of the user base over the next 3 months to kind of determine to a degree how we grow, how we look for funding, and all the rest of that. And it's a joy to see the effect of the new platform on the volume of posts, on the period between sign up and first post. So yeah, I mean, this is the point at which we look at really growing the user base, because we've created a platform which is incredibly easy to use, and once you're inside it, very interesting and fun to be in.
Okay, what's the one mistake you've made in the last 5 years with Moblog?
Not revising the security around first post, because the thing is, of course, being able to post from an email address is exceedingly difficult because you get so much spam. 90% of the emails we get, or whether that's MMS to email or emails to Moblog, are just spam, you know. So the security around the sign-up was always quite difficult. That was the one mistake I think we made, was in not making that a lot easier for your average user.
And people can sign up now?
People can sign up now. Just go to moblog.net and play around. You'll be blogging from your phone in about 60 seconds, and you'll find a community there of very deeply involved mobloggers from around the world.
Lovely. Alfie down in there from moblog.net. .uk, basically everything at the end that's not .com they've probably got already, yeah?
Well, we always wanted to be moblog.net, actually, because although it's meant to be a sort of, you know, a tech top-level domain, we think that, in fact, well, it's a network, and that's what, you know, that's what perhaps all of them should have been, but no one really picked it up, so now we're very proud to be moblog.net.
There we go, then. And if you're listening to me, podcast comments are welcome, as always, www.allaboutsymbian.com. Thank you very much, Alfie.
Thank you.